CITR 101.9 FM and Bad Bird present the Vancouver Horror Convention, Sunday, October 31st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Planet Bingo, 2655 Main Street, two blocks south of Main and Broadway. The Vancouver Horror Convention, featuring dark art exhibition, visual effects makeup competition, gore burlesque, film screenings, door prizes for killer costumes, and local vendors of comics, posters, fashion, video, and more. Tickets are $5 at the door. There are no minors allowed. The Vancouver Horror Convention, Sunday, October 31st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Planet Bingo, 2655 Main Street, two blocks south of Main and Broadway. Visit www.badbird.tv or find us on Facebook for more information.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're really, really glad to have you.
It's one of those special things, and just to give everybody a heads up, you know how I really encourage that healthy equals sexy. So it's really imperative that we take care of number one, which means taking care of yourself. So if you haven't put in your calendar to go and check yourself in to get a complete physical on your birthday, as you know, I usually advocate that, it's really important to pay attention to different things that are going on around your city and your community, and especially those who really encourage you to take care of yourself. So whether that be physical, emotional, in your relationships, whatever that may be, really doing those check-ins with yourself to make sure you're in balance. And coming up on the week of October the 25th, I'm very excited because it is PAP Awareness Week. And the LACE campaign, which I've had Lizzie Karp from the LACE campaign on the show before, about 6 months ago, we were chatting about why it's so important about getting PAP tests. But we're going to go into a little bit more in depth tonight, which I've got Teresa Weatherhead, and she's with Options for Sexual Health. And I'm very excited to have her on the show. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well,
you're welcome. So I think it's really, really great. So so you're saying in our pre-show talk that it's important to probably gauge if you're coming in to have a PAP test, that it's really important to, you know, guesstimate it's going to be about 20 minutes approximately.
Yeah. Yeah, 20 minutes and sometimes more and hopefully not less.
Is there some that sometimes do last? So we should be, when we go in there, expect to be there for about 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. You know, sometimes it might be a little bit quicker with some doctors, but I think a thorough exam should take about 20 minutes.
And technically, what would a thorough exam cover, basically?
Well, a thorough exam is going to be a manual exam as well as the PAP screening itself. So the doctor is definitely going to want to have a manual feel as to how everything is seeming to them, and basically I think some explanation is really good, and I think women should feel free to ask questions during an examination.
Mm-hmm. What is for your ideal patients, like someone who comes in there and they're really prepared, would be some key things that people should think about letting their health practitioner know when they come in for their tests?
Well, any changes that they may have noticed, if there's been cervical changes, they're not maybe going to notice those themselves, but they might notice some changes on the more on the outside, I guess you could say. Certainly any kind of pain or spotting between periods, just different things, just different changes is mainly what we may notice ourselves that we can give the doctor the heads up on.
Are there any things that have you noticed just culturally? Are people ashamed in terms of coming in for a PAP test, or has that been evolving?
I think there's been actually quite an evolvement. We're a lot more vocal about PAP screening now. There's a lot of female practitioners available to us now, and our nurses throughout the province with the Options Clinic have become certified and trained in the area of PAP screening. So, and these are generally female nurses. So I think the fact that we're now a lot more women talking with women and women taking care of women, it's become an easier topic.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst, let's say, younger women, who this is probably, you know, for a lot of them their first time, I think that they sort of take it on. I call these young women the pioneers of, of our today's new empowered women. Because they take this on as, well, you know, I've got to be doing this for the rest of my life anyway, so let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these attitudes that it's not really a fearful thing. It can still be a nervous thing. But it's more, I think that with the education surrounding it, there's a lot more sex ed in our schools and things like that. And so I think young women are just really becoming a lot more empowered in this era, and that makes pap screening not such a scary thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. And Options for Sexual Health has done a tremendous amount to change that.
Most definitely. I think that has been paramount in this evolvement that we're seeing.
Which I think is really, really important. When someone is diagnosed, because I believe is it 7 out of 10 cases of cervical cancer could have been taken care of if it was caught early enough?
Yeah, actually, I think that probably, I'm not exactly sure on those statistics. I do know that the diagnosis is, let's say, the last, probably statistic I can look at would be 2007 in ages between 20 and 39, let's just say, there was 50 cancers and 9 deaths in that year in BC alone.
Wow.
This is decreasing in terms of just because of detection, so the early detection, and I think more and more women are, you know, there's more awareness now to get our pap screenings done. So we're seeing less and less of women that haven't had a pap screening for 9 years. You know, that seems to be quite unheard of now.
Thank God.
It's still happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's important to just get the word out there. Is there ever any misconceptions because of the HPV vaccine, where sometimes people think because they've had the vaccine that they don't need to come in for a pap test?
Yeah. Well, hopefully there isn't. There may be, though. The HPV is really only covering, a couple of types of cancer viruses. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think that's a really good point to make sure that people understand the HPV is certainly not going to solve all their problems.
Yeah, it's one of those things I've always wondered about, because I believe there's over 100 strands of HPV.
Yes, definitely. And the scary part about the HPV is that 3 out of 4 women will contract HPV of some sort. That's a really high statistic. And I think what we're hoping to see now with the immunizations coming onto board, that's definitely going to make some huge changes over the next few years. I think it's still going to take a lot longer. We generally are immunizing girls at the grade 9 level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's free. It is a costly immunization for other people outside of that grade 9 level in our schools. So, you know, there's probably still a lot of women that aren't getting immunized.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, are they starting to immunize for the boys as well? Because I know there was a vaccine that I'm not sure if it was approved in Canada yet for the HPV as well.
Yeah, we haven't heard of any boy immunizations yet, and I think it would be really wise for them to get moving on that, definitely.
Yeah, because I think that would definitely help out, too.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's definitely, because, again, this includes touching and intercourse. So HPV is contracted not just through intercourse. So the scary part here is that we're always promoting condom usage, and yet, it's just by touch, right, the HPV virus. So the condom, basically, I guess a guy would need to wear rubber gloves and a condom.
Which not everybody is quite willing to do that.
No.
So. But I imagine with condom use, it's definitely gotten a lot better since the 80s, definitely.
Oh, hugely better. I think because of the Options Clinic again, and I really, I'm so impressed with what that's done for the women in our province. We promote condom usage all the time. So we have young women basically that are using the condoms as a backup to birth control, and if one of those items gets neglected, these girls rushing in thinking they might be pregnant. So it's really interesting because they just take it for granted that both of these items need to be used at the same time. So that's really neat to see, actually.
That is really neat to see. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed a difference in terms of the rates of pregnancy, especially within teens?
Well, a huge, huge difference, because our options clinic here in Nacusp opened their doors about 13 years ago. And basically at that time, our little town here had the highest teen pregnancy rate in Western Canada.
Wow.
Within 2 years of us opening our doors, and basically we're only open twice a month here, you know, so it's not like we're open every day. And within 2 years, we fell below average in that rating of teen pregnancy. So we dropped, you know, just tenfold. I mean, it was just such a vast difference. So in our little town, it was very noticeable. You no longer saw very, very young mums pushing baby buggies with very, very young grandmas, because it seemed to be a generational thing. Yeah. So
that's really exciting to see that those numbers drop like that. That's fantastic.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I moved here 20 years ago from Vancouver myself, and I thought I had stepped back 20 years in time. It was really interesting to see how we're very cut off. And at that time, of course, there wasn't the internet, and there wasn't really a lot of television, maybe even. And so this town was very isolated. And so we've stepped up a lot, but the options clinic was very, very well received, especially amongst the seniors, which I thought was really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. So, so everything's changed. We're no longer 20 years behind up here.
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And speaking of seniors, I thought that was interesting as well in our pre-show chat, and I'm going to go full circle back to the PAP test. I'd asked you just over the phone, I was curious, in terms of for your lifetime, how often should you be getting your PAP test, at least once a year? And you said the average is usually 69 years old, but we should be continuing, and I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it's sort of I hear it said by nurses and doctors that, you know, past 69, it's maybe not as necessary any longer. But I know a lot of really vibrant women in their 80s, and I really feel strongly. I had a grandmother who lived till her 100th year. So I feel strongly about continuing with our women's health in past 69 and continuing with those PAPs. And I do see women past that age still getting their PAPs, and I really encourage it myself. So,
you know, I think that's really good to know, and especially with the boomers right now in terms of generational, I think we're going to be seeing more seniors, so it's important that all of us recognize that, and especially for those healthcare practitioners as well as people who may be in the boomers, who will eventually be seniors. So it's important just to realize that that's so important. Is there anything that the men in our lives should be looking at? Because we get a lot of male listeners as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they've got partners, they've got mothers, they've got sisters, etc., in terms of encouraging them to get their tests done.
Well, I think that again, it's the education of this, and I think if men are more understanding that this is just a natural and very routine part of a woman's health, that she's getting tested, I think men can be extremely encouraging in that. It's really, again, talking about the pioneer of these young pioneers that I see. I think the really cool thing is when I see a young man bringing his girlfriend in, they're walking in hand, and she's coming in for a PAP. And I'm ecstatic about that, because he's showing her support. He's like, I'm just going to wait in the waiting room for you. And it's really nice. So he's very aware that what she needs to do for herself. And I think men need to be our little reminders sometime. And, you know, if say you're choosing your birthday to be the day that you're going to get your annual PAP screening done, then you know, our guys are going to remember that, and they can also encourage you not to forget.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. Is there any resources that you'd recommend in terms of, say, someone is diagnosed with cervical cancer, like any websites or any print materials that they might be able to check out, both just family members as well as the woman who's been diagnosed with cervical?
Well, I mean, I think, again, we're in a small town here, so of course we look to our public health nurse for a lot of information that we can get from the cancer agency and that sort of thing, and we have a lot of pamphlets available. I think there probably is some websites, and I'm sorry that I'm maybe not as familiar with that. I think that talking about it is going to generate somebody coming up with something. Maybe there's going to be somebody that you can talk to that has gone through this themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a case of not isolating yourself if this were a diagnosis, because the thing too is that you need to get all the answers, because so much of this can be treated. If you know, if we're looking at out of 50 cancers, there's 9 deaths, but yet, you know, what we're looking at in a year's time is that, you know, there's about 12,000 invasive procedures being performed each year on this in I believe that's right in our own province here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's procedures that can be done. It's not all doom and gloom here. I think that it's, and of course your physician is going to be doing all he can for you, or all she can for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and also too, I mean, I think it's important to talk about these things, because I think that also generates awareness for other people. And I think when you go through something like this, you're gonna want to think that maybe you're gonna save somebody else from this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really important.
Very much so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially with I just applaud with all the work, especially the LACE campaign.
Oh.
I think it's fantastic.
Cause
I believe there's about 30 clinics that are going to be basically embracing health, where it's really imperative for women to take control, which I forgot to mention that I did play Aretha Franklin's Respect at the beginning of the show,
in
case anybody's was wondering what song I was playing. But hopefully everybody knows, and with that, it's just absolutely imperative for us to actually take control of those things, because otherwise, if we don't, we regret things later on. And I hope health is not something that most of us regret, if there's something that we could do to change things.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
And if you could wave a magic wand and change things moving forward in terms of what was being taught in the school system, what would you like to change?
Well, interesting you should ask that, because I do teach sex ed at
Okay.
our local high school. and so, yeah, I'm kind of on the front lines with that.
Mm.
And I think the biggest thing that I work towards changing is, again, the talking about things. I think our young people need to be given the right answers, and we need to throw all the misconceptions out the window. I like to think that education is empowerment.
Mm.
Basically, it used to be that the more we taught, we thought that if we told kids about sex, they'd all run out and have it. And what I'm seeing is exactly the opposite. When it's not such a hidden kind of taboo thing, young people are more likely to make the right decision for themselves.
Mm.
So I think that talking with young people, ideally, if I could wave my magic wand, all girls would have the right to say no and be listened to. All boys would have the right to say no and be listened to as well. I think that I'd like to see young people wait to be engaging in sexual activity until they're emotionally ready for it.
Mm.
And that it should be a fun and wonderful thing. The high emotion surrounding it. I'd like to see a lot of that diminish in terms of that this is going to become something that's a big part of my life, but I want to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so going along with the sexual health end of it, with our pap screenings and that sort of thing, the empowerment that a young person feels when they, after they have their first pap screening, knowing that they're taking care of their cervixes, I want to see that sort of in a more global sense, pertaining to all things related to sex.
And I'm hoping with the internet and things like that, because it has embraced porn, which one woman who I had on the show actually quite aptly put it, porn is for entertainment and not for education.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that hopefully we can use it more for education as well, so we can actually prompt some of those conversations. But I applaud you for going into the school systems and as well as that embracing with Pap Awareness Week and actually celebrating at your clinic complete with donuts.
Yeah.
Because for those listeners out there who are curious why donuts in regards to paps, well, the cervix is shaped a little bit like a donut. So,
I think the Lace Campaign's take on donuts was just a really, when I brought that forward to our clinic, we got a real good chuckle out of everybody, and it just seemed like such a lighthearted way to look at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a good attitude, is to have a lighthearted attitude about something that's such a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so too, because sometimes if it's too serious, it freaks people out.
Yeah,
I don't want
exactly.
to go there.
That's right.
But when you make it fun, everybody wants to be part of it, because it makes them feel good as opposed to shame, which again comes down to the education as well.
Definitely.
Where when you make people feel good, it gives them power.
Right.
And it's pretty exciting because they can do anything. And I have one last question before we sign off.
Okay.
But have you noticed in the last, the last 10 years or so, I'm trying to remember when Eve Ensler's Vagina Monologues came up, that has there been a change in terms of people being a little bit more comfortable with their sexuality and asking questions in the office in regards to their sexual health, reproductive health?
Definitely. It's become a topic that is talked about more and more. I had one woman come into our clinic. We're doing a another PAP days, we call NACUS PAP days, which is another BC Cancer Agency grant to provide full Saturday PAP days at our clinic.
Oh wow!
And so we have two of those running this year. Last year we had three, and hopefully we can do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the comments made by one of the women, because they get a full one-hour appointment at this particular special event, PAP Days, they get a full one-hour appointment with our registered nurses who are certified, and they get full breast examination as well. And basically, the woman came out and she said, I can't believe this. I've never been treated this way. This is the most wonderful thing. She said it was like a spa visit for my vagina. And,
wow.
And it was just so cool because it was an A-OK thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, who says these things? We you know, some people may ask, but it's amazing how many women talk this way now. It's really kind of cool.
I think it's really cool, and I hope with all the work that you're doing, we see more of that, especially with the Lace Campaign, and just really embracing our health and making it fun to be empowered that way.
Right, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and how can our listeners, if they have any questions or anything, contact you?
Contacting me personally, I have a home line, private line just specifically for this.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, it's area code 250-265-3122. We set up that number for our NACUS PAP days, and it's kind of become a number that people can call for other things as well, because it's a confidential line and they can talk directly to me. So,
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for being on the show. And I hope I'm going to be thinking of you because I'll be at another clinic actually helping out on the October 25th as well, which we're really excited because we'll be part of the Lace Campaign as well. But I applaud you and all the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely a very rewarding position to be in.
I think it's great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Caroline.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And up next in the second half of the show, we are going to be chatting about pap tests and how it affects the South Asian community. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the second half of the show. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And I'm going to play another woman song since then. Sorry, guys. I know I've got a lot of women in the show, but a little bit of Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. So all those people who suffered through Sex in the City 2 have heard this, but this will not be the Sarah Jessica Parker version. This will be the authentic Helen Reddy version. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR.
And Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR.
And we are back at Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. And that was a little bit of I Am Woman from Helen Reddy, which I know it's the classic. And I know Sex and the City had it come out during the summer, but I don't know. I just couldn't handle listening to Sarah Jessica Parker as much as I applaud her for a lot of things. That movie really was terrible. So in light of everything, we've been chatting about the LACE campaign and PAP Awareness Week, which is coming up on October the 25th. And for the second half of the show, I wanted to address the fact that there are some cultures that sometimes virginity is really, really important. And we've got a wonderful group called White Orchid, which I've got on the show tonight. I've got one of the representatives, Nindy Nair, who is going to be chatting with us in regards to just what they do and how they really encourage the South Asian community just to actually take care of their sexual health and reproductive health. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So I'm really glad Lizzie Karp from the LACE campaign connected us. I'm really excited to have you on, and I think it's great, the work you're doing.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm excited to be on as well.
Well, thank you. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what White Orchid is?
We just recently created this society, and we call it White Orchid because white represents purity. It's kind of what and then orchid actually, take the cross section of orchid, it actually looks like a vulva. So that's kind of what we call it to that. But it was just my friend actually, Chantel, who is doing her master's right now at UBC. She read a bunch of papers, and it was something like 28% of South Asian women go for these exams, whereas like 86% of other women go for these exams, like especially European women. And then it was just kind of very shocking to her. And it's such it's like this test, since it's come out, has saved cervical cancers like 74%, right? So we were just shocked, and we understood because of kind of the cultural barriers and stuff. We wanted to do a little bit of something, and I was very involved in campus, and this opportunity came along to start something, and we just started it, and it just took off and like crazy, and we got hooked up with LACE campaign, and they've been really helpful, and we're just trying to kind of get awareness to the South Asian community about these exams, because there's a lot of kind of false rumors about it, as well as there's a lot of people just don't know about it. So yeah, like one thing we're doing with LACE right now is we just created like a Punjabi version of their kind of the marketing and stuff, so it's pretty cool.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think, and it's absolutely imperative too. So, yeah. Because as they were saying in a lot of the literature, 7 out of 10 cases of cervical cancer could be cured if people are getting their pap tests. And as I was telling Teresa Weatherhead, who is from Options of Sexual Health, who was on the show for the first half of the show, I was just telling her, I if somebody does not address, like in terms of PAP Awareness Week, if that's not when they choose to get their pap test, at the very least, actually do it on your birthday, because in that way, it's a day that you always remember, and that way you it's the best gift you can give yourself, is just taking care of yourself, book yourself in for a complete physical.
That's really good advice. I never thought of it like that.
So what are some of the rumors you were saying that some of the women, when they think of PAP, what kind of rumors does that bring up?
Like, for example, one strange rumor that I heard was actually the young girl, and, like, I'm quite educated, I mean, studying university, and she's like, I heard that when you get your pap smear, it causes cervical cancer because they're taking out cells, and it's somehow, I don't understand how that even made sense, but she really believed it, and then I think there's a lot of things with, if it does, like, how invasive it is, and if it does break the hymen, I know in some it's that's kind of seen as a bad thing, right? And even though that could break naturally itself, but you know, with horse riding, etc., right? But like, so I think that that's kind of, and it's just like not it's kind of looked down upon for it. That's kind of, especially for a young girl like myself, if we go to the doctors and somebody sees us, and that's kind of like the stigmatism behind that, which is, it's actually more of a stigmatism than it is, we're just afraid that, you know, that if somebody sees us, they're going to think lowly of us, and all this kind of thing, and our parents, like, it's kind of a pride issue almost, it becomes. right?
So in terms of that, if someone's going to the doctor and if it's, say, a clinic that's really focusing on South Asian women, I could understand where maybe if they're not literally out of the closet in terms of going for pap tests and things like that.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you're encouraging women to get it where they're able to go to either a family doctor or to another clinic where it might be just a general clinic to get it done?
Yeah, that's we're letting a lot of girls know. It's kind of what our main target is that you don't have to go to the family doctor, essentially, because, like, that's where they get a little scared. You know, my mom finds out this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to, as long as you have a care card, they can go to any clinic, and especially, like, during PAP Awareness Week, there's many clinics open to do these exams, right? And, yeah, they can go, they, if they live in Surrey, they can go all the way to Langley or something and get an exam done.
What other rumors are there around that women are believing in terms of pap tests?
They just don't find it necessary. Actually, they just don't. They think that there's other things more important in their health. I think the shame associated with it is kind of what is scaring a lot of people. And I think a lot of it, though, is just not enough education about it. A lot of women just don't know about it.
And are you finding when you're going out educating, like, how are you going about doing it? Is your group doing chats and talks at different places? How are you spreading the word in terms of educating women?
Well, for example, just in August, we had a picnic at Bear Creek Park just to talk to women. And it was mainly like, we had a little bit of, you know, food and little fun games as well. As we were just walking around the park and just handing out, you know, brochures and just talking to ladies one-on-one. And there was actually a very good response, and people were very very interested to know about it. And I think that there's just not enough information for them and stuff. And they just need more hands-on people coming to them. Sometimes, especially seeing someone that is similar to them, I guess, in a way, they get a little more comfortable, right, to talk about these things, but, yeah.
And go on.
No, I just said it's just a very taboo topic, right?
And understandably so. I know several weeks ago I had Dr. Faisal on the show, which he is a multicultural therapist, which specializes both in mixed relationships as well as multicultural. And one of the things he brought up was just that, which I was actually really surprised, that hymenoplasty, which for those listeners out there who may not be familiar, it's basically where they rebuild the hymen, and I may not be technically describing that correctly, but essentially, because virginity is very important in the South Asian communities in general.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And I know that was one of the things, too, you're mentioning, just in regards to where the women are afraid of the hymen breaking and things like that.
They just think that it's too invasive, and even if we female are sexually active, they would never let anybody else know, like their elders and stuff. And that's a little bit of a dangerous practice as well, because then if it's kind of talking to your friends about it and stuff helps you learn a lot of things and important information and stuff out. It's just kind of the comfort level between these kind of things what kind of our long-term goal is, that hopefully make people a little bit more, I'm not saying like talk about it in your dinner party or something, right? But like
but just getting those conversations going, which is really imperative. So.
Yeah. And another thing we're trying to let people know is that you don't actually have to be sexually active to get these exams done. I think if you're above age 21, around there, and or 3 years after sexual contact, to go get these exams done, it's just because they sometimes catch a little more than just cervical cancer. That's what they're looking for, right? But it's like going to the dentist and your free routine cleaning, right?
Yeah. And considering 7 out of 10 cases could have been taken care of if it was caught early enough. Like, when I saw those stats, I was just shocked.
Yeah, I know. And it's like something like 7 out of 10 cases. And I know in India, it's the number one cause of death. Women.
So it's even more imperative to educate women here in the South Asian community. That's wild that's the number one.
Yeah.
Wow.
In women cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm more the breast cancer.
No, that's incredible. And yeah. When we had Teresa Weatherhead on for the first half, she was mentioning that they'll usually do the breast exam as well as part of the 20-minute examination, which I thought was great.
I think that's a really good idea. I think it makes it easier as well, mm-hmm. because it's kind of hard to always go, I know personally for myself, to go to, if you have to get eye exam, then go this exam, and that. And there's just too many appointments yeah. in your busy life schedule. If they can combine them, it's always awesome.
It makes it simpler, definitely. yeah, we're going to take a really, really, really quick short break, and okay. when we get back, I'm going to ask you some more questions.
Awesome.
And everyone, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Broken Pencil presents Canzine West, Canada's largest zine fair and festival of alternative culture, Saturday, October 16th from 1 to 7 p.m. at the W2 Storium, 151 West Cordova Street in Vancouver. You can preview and purchase over 150 zines from across Canada. Watch poetry collide with improv comedy, view art, create art, buy handmade goods, watch indie film shorts, pick through vintage treasures, and more. Be amazed at the creativity, ingenuity, and sheer weirdness.
Since the invention of the printing press, if not before, dissidents and marginalized citizens have published their own opinions in leaflet and pamphlet form.
That's Canzine West, Canada's largest zine fair and festival of alternative culture, Saturday, October 16th from 1 to 7 p.m. at the W2 Storium, 151 West Cordova Street in Vancouver. For more information, visit CITR.ca. Sponsored in part by CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine.
Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And we are back. We are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, I am speaking to Needy from White Orchid. And before the break, we've been chatting about, just in the terms of the South Asian community, that only 28% of women, of the women who get pap smears, are from the South Asian community. So we're trying to increase those numbers, which I think is fabulous, as part of the LACE campaign in honor of Pap Awareness Week, which is coming up on October the 25th, which we're all really, really excited about. So welcome back to the show after the break.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And one of the things I was going to ask, I think it's great, you're mentioning that on SFU that you are going to be doing just some education and things for in honor of Pap Awareness Week. And do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have an awesome club at SFU called Club for the Cure, and they're helping us out, just like kind of pumping up Pap Awareness Week and reminding other young girls on campus to go get it done, which is awesome. A lot of people are kind of jumping on the wagon, which is awesome. Yeah.
No, I think it's fantastic. And for those of you who have brothers, boyfriends, husbands, etc., who are really involved with White Orchid, what has been the response with the men as if you've been able to educate them as well, so they're understanding why it's important?
The response, men just get very uncomfortable when it comes to these kind of things, actually. It's very difficult to talk to them, but I find what actually works, which is kind of weird from personal experience, is just like having brochures and just like a true story. Like my friend and her boyfriend were traveling one day, and she just had like this brochure about sexual health in her car, and she went to the bank, and he was just reading it, and he just learned all this stuff, and somehow it's just kind of like, it's almost a private sort of kind of way that is to get to them, I find, is the best. Because especially a South Asian male, they're very, very uncomfortable when it comes to, I have brothers myself, they're very uncomfortable when it comes to talking about this. But it's obviously equally important for them to learn, because they are also spread HPV, which is one of the major causes of cervical cancer, right? Direct correlation to it, right?
Yeah, it's important to educate, definitely, about that. And hopefully with the male vaccine that's available now with HPV, even though they're not making it as available as it is for girls, I'm hoping that will change in the future. But in the meantime, just that hopefully they'll become more aware of it as well, because it's imperative.
Yeah, I think a lot of times males forget they also play an important role, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, yeah, I think there's like just creative ways of marketing towards them, like YouTube videos, like interesting YouTube videos, stuff like that, right?
Just so basically using the internet and social media just to get the word out there. What about for men that are, say, your dad's age? Because when I had Teresa Weatherhead on the phone, she was recommending that women should be all through their lives getting their pap tests, at least at the very minimum up till they're 69, and that some practitioners say that every couple years after that, but it is worth getting it every year. Mm-hmm. So even if you live up into your 80s or 90s, it's important to get your pap tests every year.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that, and I don't know if you're at that stage yet, in terms of reaching out and educating the males as well as the females in those generations?
Again, it becomes difficult, but I think by doing these, the campaigns that were just reaching out to the women, the mm-hmm. men sometimes they get a little interested, like all my uncles, and even when we were on the South Asian radios, there were males interested in, like, by listening and
mm-hmm.
And talking about it, and just like they're kind of a little bit curious in a sense, but they just don't want to openly talk about it and ask very many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very tricky situation
mm-hmm.
to talk to, especially South Asian males. They get very, 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 very uncomfortable, I look. So it's just kind of like, I think a little bit like that's like why we like using media and social media, and mm-hmm. Especially for older generations, just the media, just by listening over the radio, privately in their car, kind of, right?
Mm-hmm.
On
that note, this show is on podcast afterwards as well. So if you want to send it to them and just let them listen to it discreetly, they can. Do you think needs to be done in terms of the educational systems and perhaps just within in the family structure in terms of the education? So hopefully we can educate young boys and girls. In terms of why it's so imperative, especially if it's the number one reason why women are dying in India is because of cervical cancer followed by breast cancer. To me, that sounds like an epidemic where it's imperative that the education is there, where a pap test is really important to...
I think that the best way is through just stories of people surviving and the cancer, and how these tests have actually changed their lives. And
mm-hmm.
it's stories like these that kind of get people to trust such exams and stuff, right?
And does it need to be, just out of curiosity, in terms of the speakers of those stories, do they need to be from the South Asian community necessarily, or can it be a mix?
I think that it could be a mix, but I think that it is more if they are from the South Asian community,
mm-hmm.
just because they, for some reason, will feel a little more comfortable and a little more connected.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing with like Eastern people, sometimes we just think that we're just really like we just believe in fate a little too much, and like mm-hmm. we don't really like take proactive measures. But I do know from like recently with the nutrition mm-hmm. campaign in the South Asian community, which like their food guide didn't have our food on it, but now it does, and it just got added onto about a year ago.
That's fantastic.
And I know there's been like this huge uproar in the South Asian community trying to eat healthy. Everybody's eating healthy. Our rotis used to be made of white flour, and now they're made out of brown flour. So I think that it's just slowly just kind of like, you can't do this all at once, right?
No, it takes time, but it's just a matter of what are the steps in terms of if you could wave a magic wand and change the what they learned in schools and the family structure in terms of about these diseases and how they might be able to basically prevent some of this stuff, so they prevent the heartache they get from losing a loved one.
Uh-huh.
What would you like to do in terms of moving forward? Like, if you could go forward 20 years from now and look back, what would some of the steps you'd like to see happen in the South Asian community in terms of acceptance, in terms of PAP awareness and breast cancer awareness, et cetera?
I would like the people to be a little bit more open about these things, and probably not... be a little bit more educated. That if, and I think the false rumors have kind of taken over a lot, and it's faking those.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, but if I had a magic wand, I guess I would try to get rid of those rumors and get people to think about the actual science behind it, and you know, realize these kind of things, and be a little bit more realistic, I guess, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of school, I'm not sure how the schooling system works in India, kind of where most of our parents come from.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, here, how we have sexual education, and I think that's awesome. And I think that having, like, such talking about such things at an early age and preventative kind of measures for these things are really good. To let people know, and I think that they're trying to do that a little bit in India. I'm not really sure about the system that much, but like I know that my parents all know that we get educated in school here about it, and they're totally comfortable with somebody else teaching it, not us. But I guess maybe just not them, but maybe you're having a little bit more of an open door policy. But what I would think would help with the situation.
No, that makes sense. In regards to how people can find out more about you, because it sounds like you guys are doing some great stuff on campus as well. How can people find out about you?
Well, we have a website, sort of, and it's www.whiteorchidsociety.com. And and then we have our information. We're currently updating it, but we have a little bit of information up there on there.
Mm-hmm.
And and you can contact us. We have an email as well, just whiteorchidsociety@gmail.com if they have any questions. And that's about it.
That's really cool. And in regards to if they want to get some brochures, because say someone's listening and they want to, and they have a lot of South Asian women, say, for example, or men in their community, and they'd like to educate them about what's coming up in terms of PAP Awareness Week, would they connect lelacecampaign.com, or would they contact you directly in regards to getting the brochures in Punjabi?
Well, we are getting a shipment of the brochures in Punjabi as well.
That's great.
But the Lace campaign also has a lot. So they have, and their website is awesome as well. Everyone should definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
As well, BC Cancer website has some like brochures about cervical cancer in Punjabi as well that they can download.
That sounds fantastic.
So there are some resources out there. Yeah.
No, I think that's great. And what's next for you guys after PAP Awareness Week?
We're thinking of doing a fundraiser party, which works. I know it works well for breast cancer in our community. At a hall, just like a formal where his families come, and it's just a very relaxed environment with just a little bit of an underlying message.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the education out there, as well as raise some funds towards cervical cancer research and stuff, or not research, and things like that, right?
No, I think that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with your campaign. I think it's great, and I applaud the work that you're doing in the South Asian community. I think it's really important. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And I hope PAP Awareness Week goes well, and you get a lot of women from the South Asian community out.
I hope so, too.
That's great. Awesome. Well, up next is Hans von Kolaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
CITR 101.9 FM and Bad Bird present the Vancouver Horror Convention, Sunday, October 31st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Planet Bingo, 2655 Main Street, two blocks south of Main and Broadway. The Vancouver Horror Convention, featuring dark art exhibition, visual effects makeup competition, gore burlesque, film screenings, door prizes for killer costumes, and local vendors of comics, posters, fashion, video, and more. Tickets are $5 at the door. There are no minors allowed. The Vancouver Horror Convention, Sunday, October 31st, from noon to 6 p.m. at Planet Bingo, 2655 Main Street, two blocks south of Main and Broadway. visit www.badbird.tv or find us on Facebook for more information.